sporty seasonal greetings. This is the voice of America's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
When I visited Nigeria in October, I asked Ferdinand Nwachukwu, station manager at VOA partner Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Abuja. Ferdinand, here in the Abuja area, could you tell me the three most popular English Premier League football clubs? Ferdinand smiled and then he answered, "It's the Blues of Chelsea and everybody else." Well, I know the Blues have supporters, not just in Nigeria's political capital, but all across Africa. And they'll be back on the pitch Saturday in London, where they host the Tigers of Hull City at Stamford Bridge. Now, everything points to a victory for top-of-the-table Chelsea. The Tigers are near the bottom of the EPL standings, and they trail the first-place Blues by 23 points. Chelsea is also unbeaten in their last 10 matches with Hull City in all competitions. Chelsea is coming off a 3-1 victory Wednesday over Sporting Club of Portugal at Stamford Bridge in a UEFA Champions League match. Chelsea's third goal came from this Nigerian star, who was one of the international football players trying to raise awareness about the deadly Ebola crisis.
Cook all meat and animal products thoroughly before consumption. My name is John Obi Mikel. Together we can beat Ebola.
I'm sure Chelsea's John Obi Mikel wants to beat not just Ebola, but also Hull City on Saturday at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea is one of three Premier League clubs through to the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League, Europe's top club competition. The two others are Arsenal and Manchester City. Man City, which is in second place in the EPL standings, 3 points behind Chelsea, will visit Leicester City on Saturday, while the Gunners of Arsenal are at home against the Magpies of Newcastle. Arsenal and Newcastle are currently tied for sixth place in the Premier League, with the clubs level on 23 points from 15 matches. That puts them 13 points behind front-running Chelsea. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, VOA's Downtown Brown will have our English Premier League football question of the week.
Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown, and I'm back again with Question of the Week. The question was, do you think Double D or Didier Drogba...
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
...will be a shocking force for Chelsea's second half of the season? We had a lot of mixture of comments. A lot of people had negative reviews about him, and some people had positive reviews about him. One positive review was Kenya Sunday from Lagos, Nigeria, said, "He is capable of doing it in his recent form, which is astonishing, and he has the ability to do it using the experience he had in the first era of his soccer career. He is still to be called upon on when things get worse for Chelsea." Asuga from Nigeria said, "Nah, I don't think so. He remains a backup for Costa and Remy. He's had a great first half of the season, though."
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports.
And Magnus Chisholm from Nigeria said, The legendary Drogba is truly a galvanizing force in Chelsea's ambition. Experience counts in his journey to finish in the top, which I think Drogba has an edge. Soccer news. Nemanja Vidic might come back to his old team, Manchester United. Aaron Robin is set to make a $24 million bid to play with Manchester United. Arsenal might have a big signing coming January, Edinson Cavani, a Uruguayan striker. Liverpool is having some trouble re-signing Raheem Sterling. Man City is trying to replace Yaya Toure with Paul Pogba, who plays as a midfielder for Juventus. So Man City is planning to offering the king of soccer right now, $200 million in a bid which will outbid Arsenal, Man U, and Chelsea. Let's see if that happens. Soccer injuries. Players who are returning this week, Angel Di Maria, Rafael, Mario Berrettoli, and Vincent Kompany. And those are soccer injuries and soccer stories. Check us out on Facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Soccer matches, Man U versus Liverpool, Man City versus Leicester City, Arsenal versus Newcastle, Swansea versus Tottenham, and check our local listings for the time. In the studio, we have Tef Tef. So the question of the week was about Double D on his first half of the season. Do you think he can carry the momentum of doing the exact same what he did in the first half in the second half?
Well, first of all, he let's look at him as a substitute, unless Costa is injured. I think he can because he is 36, but you don't, when you're as good as Drogba is, 36, as a sub only playing 20 minutes, he can still perform. He could have easily come to the MLS and, you know, been a star here, but he can perform as a sub at least in the Premier League. And he's even played full matches, so.
So Chelsea's playing Hull City. Do you think he'll score another goal?
I wouldn't say he will score another goal because, you know, Costa might be available and he'll usually start over him. But I do think that Drogba has the chance to, you know, again, if Chelsea are held, because it's not the first time if Chelsea were to not score a lot of goals in a game. Like, he rescued Chelsea against Shrewsbury, which is a lower league team, and in the Capital One Cup. And I wonder, had they tied that game, how much effect it would have had on their morale. But Drogba scored a late winner, and, you know, it's as if nothing had happened. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Chelsea can't break the deadlock against Hull and that he comes on later on to do something magical as he always does.
Hey, Tef, thanks for your time. Great having you, man.
Sure. Thank you.
VOA! On VOA's Downtown Brown, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, joins us now with a package of sports news. And Mark begins with a victory by a Kenyan athlete in Australia.
In athletics, Kenyan Veronica Wanjiru triumphed in the women's 10,000 meters at the Zatopek Classic in Melbourne, Australia on Thursday. Eritrea's Samson Gebreyehuanes was third in the men's race. Elsewhere, athletes from Eritrea, Ethiopia, Rwanda, Sudan, Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya contest the Safaricom Kisumu City Marathon in Western Kenya on Sunday. In rugby, South Africa tackled the United States of America as Kenya encounter Wales in Group A at the start of the third leg of the IRB Sevens series in Nelson Mandela Bay here in South Africa tomorrow Saturday, while Zimbabwe make their first appearance in the series this year when they challenge Argentina, Australia and Portugal in Group B. Turning to football, Algeria's Orange Africa Champions League title holders Intensitif tackle New Zealand's Auckland City before Mexico's Cruz Azul play Australia's West Sydney Wanderers in the quarterfinals at the FIFA Club World Cup in Rabat, Morocco tomorrow Saturday. In Equatorial Guinea, Republic of Congo play Chad at the Central Africa Economic and Monetary Community CEMAC Cup final in Bata tomorrow Saturday. Prior to the finals, Equatorial Guinea engaged Cameroon in the bronze medal playoff. The competition has been used to test run Equatorial Guinea's preparations to stage the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations starting next month. Finally, hosts Nigeria engage Ghana, then Ivory Coast plays Switzerland at the start of a Four Nations Beach Soccer Tournament in Lagos today, Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, Nigeria play Ivory Coast as Ghana engage Switzerland, while on Sunday, Nigeria encounter Switzerland before Ghana play Ivory Coast. I'm Mark Omen, Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a fabulous weekend.
Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. Because
this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder storm past the Cleveland Cavaliers 103-94 to snap Cleveland's eight-game winning streak. The Cavs played without superstar LeBron James, who sat out with a sore left knee. Cleveland's head coach David Blatt says LeBron felt some soreness in the back of the knee, and they decided to hold him out as a precautionary measure. Russell Westbrook led the Thunder Thursday night with 26 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. And Russell's teammate, Kevin Durant, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, chipped in with 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. KD recently returned to the court after being sidelined with a broken right foot. It was the fourth win in a row for Oklahoma City. And coincidentally, that winning streak has come since Kevin Durant returned to action. In Thursday night's only other NBA game, the Houston Rockets beat the host Sacramento Kings 113-109 in overtime. All-star guard James Harden scored a season-high 44 points, including 10 in the extra period. Now, two of the NBA's top centers did not play in the game. The Rockets played their 11th straight game without Dwight Howard, who has been sidelined with a strained right knee. And the Kings were without DeMarcus Cousins, who's missed the last 8 games with viral meningitis. Taking a look at some of the longest current winning streaks, well, they belong to California-based clubs in the NBA. The Golden State Warriors have won 14 games in a row, while the Los Angeles Clippers have won 9 games in a row. The Clippers will try to make it 10 in a row later Friday night when they play my favorite club, the Washington Wizards, just a few blocks from our VOA headquarters here in Washington.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, everybody. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the voice of America has been the voice of freedom. So on behalf of the American people and the millions around the world who draw hope and strength from your work, thank you all for being the proud and steady voice of America.
Voice of America!
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcast. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. The program will be co-hosted once again by Kim Lewis and Yahias Wuhib. Well, one of our big football stories this week on the Sunny Side of Sports was the Los Angeles Galaxy lifting a record fifth Major League Soccer trophy. Playing at home in Southern California, the Galaxy scored a 2-1 extra time victory over the New England Revolution to lift the MLS Cup. Irish international Robbie Keane, the league most valuable player, scored on a breakaway in the 111th minute to delight the partisan crowd. It also marked a victorious championship exit for Landon Donovan, the Galaxy star who was playing in his final match. The retiring 32-year-old Donovan, the all-time leading scorer in Major League Soccer, as well as for the USA national team, was in a jubilant mood after his successful swan song. Landon grabbed a megaphone and had this to say to the cheering fans.
On behalf of all of us, I love LA. We love you guys. And we're the first to five, baby. Yeah,
baby. As Landon Donovan just said, the Los Angeles Galaxy is the first MLS club to win five league titles. The game went into extra time after Chris Tierney equalized for the Revolution in the 79th minute. The Galaxy took a 1-0 lead in the 52nd minute on a goal by Jossi Zardes. Talk to us, Jossi!
It was just an amazing game. It was a hard battle. Cramping up. Everybody was cramping up on the field, but look at this. A victory. Well deserved.
Meanwhile, it marked another heartbreaking loss for the New England Revolution in the MLS Cup final. New England has now lost five times in the MLS Cup without a victory, including three times to the Galaxy on extra time goals. Galaxy defender Omar Gonzalez says the Revolution showed a lot of fighting spirit.
New England came in, they worked hard, they gave us a tough battle. But champions find a way to win. And you know what? Today we did that, and that's why we won another one. First to five. Here we go.
Congratulations once again to Omar Gonzalez and the Los Angeles Galaxy, the champions of Major League Soccer, for a record fifth time. Joining us once again on the Voice of America from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sonny, and good evening to all our listeners around Africa.
David, as we look forward to Equatorial Guinea 2015, has your mailbag been peppered with any Nations Cup questions from our Voice of America listeners?
Yes, indeed, Sonny. From Nigeria, there in the west of Africa, right down to Malawi in Central Africa, right down to South Africa itself. A lot of people have commented to me on the lopsided nature of the draw. They say they just don't understand how Group C and Group D are so strong, and relatively speaking, how Group A and Group B are much weaker. Well, you can't argue about the strength and the weakness, honey, because Group D, in fact, theoretically is the strongest, because all four countries, that's Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Guinea, and Mali, they're all top 10 nations in Africa, whereas in Group C, which most people are referring to as the group of death, three of the countries, that's Ghana, Senegal, and Algeria, are in the top 10, and South Africa are placed 11. So that, I believe, confirms my earlier point of view that there are, in fact, two groups of death in this tournament. But, Sonny, to explain the lopsidedness of the draw, it purely was the luck of the draw. The seeding was as follows. In pot one, you had Equatorial Guinea. Now, that's traditional and it's normal. They are the host nation, so they go into pot one. Nigeria should also have been there as the title holders, but of course they failed to qualify for the finals, only finishing third in their group. So you had Guinea, Ivory Coast, and Zambia. And they are the countries with the best records in recent Cup of Nations finals, Cup of Nations qualifiers, and also World Cup qualifiers. So, Sonny, one or two emails suggested to me that CAF sort of just made up the rules as they went along. That is actually very unfair to CAF. They do the whole thing very transparently. It's all worked out with mathematics, and I've double-checked, and I can assure all our listeners from Cairo to Cape Town that this was done very fairly. In pot two, you had Burkina Faso, Mali, Tunisia, and Algeria. In pot three, you had Cape Verde, South Africa, Cameroon, and Gabon. And then pot four, to me, was particularly strong. Now, these are allegedly, I stress allegedly, the weakest countries, and they're Guinea, Senegal, and Senegal are potential winners of this competition. Democratic Republic of Congo, who had that great 4-3 victory over Ivory Coast in Abidjan. And Congo-Brazzaville, who are, to me, could well be dark horses in this competition. I certainly don't see them being good enough to win it, but they could make it to the quarterfinals. They've got a wily old coach there in that Frenchman, Claude Leroy. And they've already had that great away victory over Nigeria in Calabar. And then, Sonny, it's just a question of pulling those countries from the various pots. And yes, it is a lopsided draw, I agree. And what makes it even more lopsided is that Group C and D, the winners and runners-up in those two groups, will meet each other in the quarterfinals. So you're looking at the likes of maybe Ivory Coast and Cameroon coming up against your Algeria, Ghana, possibly Senegal. So you're going to have two crackerjack quarterfinals. And on the other side, you get the impression that Tunisia in particular must be very grateful that it's not going to be quite as difficult for them. However, North African countries, they often don't travel particularly well in the Cup of Nations. I think they would much prefer it if the competition had remained in Morocco. So we won't take anything for granted, Sonny. But yes, the criticism that the draw is lopsided is a fair one, but it's purely because of the look of the draw. It could have been so different if different names had been pulled out of the pot at different times. But that's the luck of the draw.
David, you talk about names being pulled out of the pot. We now know the five names, the five finalists for both the 2014 African Player of the Year and 2014 Africa-based Player of the Year. VOA! How about an update for our VOA listeners?
Right, Sonny, let's look at the African Player of the Year. Now, that's the ultimate competition. That's the one open to players playing in Africa and playing overseas. And the five finalists are Yaya Touré of Ivory Coast and Manchester City, and he's going for a record fourth consecutive title. Now, talking of emails, Sonny, I've had several people who say that they're correcting me, that how can I say a record fourth title when Samuel Eto'o won the title four times. Samuel Eto'o did win the title four times, but he did not win four consecutive titles. He won three, and then he won another one a few years apart. So if Yaya Touré succeeds, and he certainly is a very strong contender, he will become the first African to win this competition four times in a row. And that, needless to say, will be a tremendous achievement. You've also got Gervinho of Ivory Coast and AS Roma. You've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He plays for Gabon and Borussia Dortmund in Germany. You've got Vincent Enyema, the Nigerian goalkeeper and undoubtedly the best goalkeeper in Africa. And he plays for Lille in France. And you've got Ahmed Musa, who is from Nigeria. And he plays for CSKA Moscow in Russia. I think the name that stands out, Sonny, as the surprise omission from that top five is Yassine Brahimi of Algeria. He's been widely lauded for his performances at the World Cup and also for Porto in the UEFA Champions League. And interestingly, when I did my list of the five that I thought should be selected, he was in it, and I did not have Ahmed Musa. I had Yaya Touré, Vincent Enyema, Aubameyang, and Gervinho. all stood out to me as likely finalists. After the destination of the title, Sonny, I make Yaya Touré the favourite. I think he still is the colossus of African football. He's playing for a top club in Europe in Manchester City. And other strong contenders, perhaps Vincent Enyema. And we'll know, Sonny, on January the 8th in Lagos in Nigeria. That is when the announcement of the winner will be made. If we then move on to the Africa-based Player of the Year. Now, this, as the title suggests, is not open to anybody playing outside the continent. This is for footballers playing within Africa. And the five finalists are Akram Janit, who plays for the African champion, Setif of Algeria, Fakhreddine Ben Youssef, who plays for CS Sfaxien of Tunisia. We've also got Firmin Mubele, who plays for Vita Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo. We've got the late Senzo Mayiwa, sadly the Orlando Pirates and South African goalkeeper, who was gunned down midway through the African Cup of Nations qualifying program. And then we've also got another player from Setif, El Hedi Bellamiri. He was the joint leading scorer in the Champions League with 6 goals. This is, to me, Sonny, it's a tough one. A lot of people feel that perhaps partly because of his abilities and partly because of emotions that Senzo Mayiwa might become the Africa-based Footballer of the Year. We will wait to find out on January the 8th. VOA!
David, if our VOA listeners have a football-related question for you, can you give us your email address?
Yes, certainly, Sonny. It's david.leg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France-Presse.com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.leg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from our listeners. So if you have a question for David, soccer or football related, please send it to him and we will try to read your question on the air.
Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world. Just come.
Game on, VOA sports fans. Lots of games this weekend. I plan to watch a few, and I hope you will too. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Golden State Warriors basketball star Stephen Curry. He's one of the sharp shooting guards in the NBA, and as I mentioned earlier, Stephon and the Warriors have been red hot. They have won their last 14 games in a row, and they have the NBA's best record at 19 victories and 2 defeats. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawali for his outstanding technical support. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports.